Welcome back into the Dapped on Draft podcast. I'm your co-host, Corey Kinnon, alongside Dalton Miller, as always. Again, now members of the Believe Podcast Network, this Dapped on Draft podcast is. So very exciting times for us. But today we're going to finish out our NFL draft grades. We finally made it to the NFC West, the last conference. Dalton is on vacation, so he's joining us for taking a little bit of time out of his schedule to come and join us. Dalton, how are you?
Yeah, I mean, it's a vacation, but it kind of isn't at the same time. I'm in one of my favorite cities in the world, if not my favorite city in the world, Porto. But because I am in the throes of my bodybuilding prep with less than 8 weeks left to go, I'm here eating 1,600 calories and eating every single one of my meals inside the Airbnb. So over 200 grams of protein, under 1,600 calories. We are dieting hard to try to strip off the rest of this body fat that is on this body. And so I don't get to enjoy one of my top three favorite food cities that I've ever been to right now, which is unfortunate. I do, however, get to enjoy every single one of the unbelievably steep hills that I get to walk up and down here. So still get to have my fun here in this beautiful city.
I love it. I mean, I don't love it for you, but you know, you're almost there, almost there. I just finished a cut not too long ago, so I understand that I didn't do that steep. So I thought what I was doing was steep. So
I'm getting down to stage bodybuilding stage leanness. Yeah. It's not healthy, that's for sure, but it is an endeavor I decided to take.
Yeah. Yeah. Indeed. It's not for everybody, not for me.
No.
All right, well, let's dive in here to the AFC West, or NFC West. I'm so sorry. So we've got the 49ers, the Rams, the Cardinals, and the Seahawks. Overall, this conference was all over the map using the same Renee Bugner's composite GPA scores.
Here. Division, Corey. Division.
Did I say conference again?
You did.
Dang.
You did. Yep, I'll tell you what. It's something that is just been really tough for us. Tough for us throughout this.
Yeah, so we've got one team at 27, one team at 17, one team at 14, and one team at 3 here. So they're very representative all over the board here, the NFC West is. Sitting at 27, though, is the San Francisco 49ers. Dalton, what did you make of the 49ers draft? Because personally, I love 4 of the first 5 picks here.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm right there with you, man. Michael, listen, I don't love the Michael Williams pick just because I do question the pass rush upside that he has. If he's able to consistently win through the chest and come up with something that he can work inside to out consistently in his NFL career, then I think that he can be pretty productive. But you drafted at number 11 and then in the second round two guys who just cannot rush the passer right now. Two unbelievably stout run defenders. Michael Williams was arguably the most consistent run defender of any of the edge rushers. And Alfred Collins, I have been on record saying, I think might be the best just pure run defending defensive tackle I've ever watched. And so you pair those guys with what was probably the most surprising pick of the top 100 in Nick Martin.
Yeah.
That was out of nowhere, right? You didn't expect anything close to that.
I mean, I know there were some teams that loved him. Like
he ran well, but like 6 foot, 220.
Ultra productive, like
super productive, but like just not. Yeah. I didn't see it on tape personally, but then you follow that up with, again, CJ West in the fourth round and Upton Stout with one of your picks late in the third round with one of your comp picks. And Upton Stout, we've talked about his physicality, his ability to kind of come downhill and be a scrapper. One of those guys that you can see working in the slot for the San Francisco 49ers in their base defense. You know, they run a lot of the cover three stuff, so he'll be able to work downhill quite a bit. And then CJ West, who we both believe is a really good player right now as a one tech, but won't have to play one tech. Alfred Collins, that will be his job. And CJ West can kind of move up and down that defensive front. We think that he's got pass rush upside. And so I'm a real big fan of that pick. And then I was a huge Jordan James fan, and Jordan James in that Kyle Shanahan offense, that outside zone heavy rushing attack, is a phenomenal fit, in my opinion. So overall, the media didn't love this draft, but I don't hate this draft at all.
Yeah, so they clearly had a goal here at the top of the draft to get better against the run, because they took, again, yeah, as you mentioned, probably two of the best run defenders in the entire draft right off the rip. Upton Stout, man, I think that's tremendous. This team definitely needed some corner help. And again, for my money, at the Senior Bowl, between him and Quincy Riley were probably the two of the top corners at the Senior Bowl this past year. And again, he's got the physicality to play outside. Kind of Mikey Sainristil-esque, you know, in Washington, who's playing outside, even though he's small at the NFL level. And I think they're going to probably give Upton the chance to play outside. But again, at the end of the day, you're talking about a nickel who's not afraid to stick his head like into action coming downhill either. So I absolutely love Upton Stout. I think that's a great pick for the 49ers. Even if the third round right there, 100th overall, might feel a little early. I don't really think it is. Speaking of Mikey Sainristil as well, like Michigan tried to get this guy to come over this year to replace Mikey Sainristil after he graduated. So I outside of the top 115 though, then it's like, okay. I mean, it feels like the 49ers always take two things every single year. One, just a wide receiver who burns on the vertical plane, who might or might not see the field. Like Danny Gray is very much in this mold from a few years ago. Jordan Watkins is in this game this way this year as well. Like if you watch the Arkansas game this year between Ole Miss and Arkansas, you think that this guy is a first round pick because he put up like 211 yards and five touchdowns or something like that in that game. But very much a vertical plane burner. And then a running back who's just fits like inside outside zone. It's those two things every single year. I don't love Jordan James. Fifth round is fine. The 49ers haven't really hit on one of these running backs in recent memory. So maybe Jordan James will shift the tide here a little bit. Outside of that, I don't have a huge ton of opinions on the rest of these day three picks. Curtis Rourke, I think, could be a fine backup. You know, we'll see how his knee is coming into the season after playing on a torn ACL all year.
I think Rourke in this offense could be decent.
Yeah.
As the backup. That's kind of how I feel about it. And I mean, we'll see if he's able to get a little bit more torque and velocity on the ball this year, now that he's going to be relatively healthy compared to what he was playing at Indiana last year.
Agreed. Cause the Indiana offense almost asked the same thing out of him. Like, if we can scheme you guys open, can you find them and can you throw the football? Like that's literally a bunch of it. And that takes a little bit away from what Rourke actually did, because he did have some nice backside dig throws and some things like that too in the Indiana offense. But I think it's a good fit here. All right. I don't have anything else to say about the San Francisco 49ers. Do you?
No.
All right. Los Angeles Rams, again, came in as the Tide's 17th best draft based off of the composite of all of the expert grades here. Tied with the Buffalo Bills. This is a weird draft, in my opinion, man. I like the Chris Paul pick in the fifth round. And Kanata Mumfield kind of screams like a receiver that's just going to go for 800 yards as a rookie despite being drafted in the seventh round. Just because he's got that like controlled, good route running, good hands. Just like he's very much a receiver that the Rams are like, yeah, he fits us. So I could see him like, because DeMarcus Robinson just walked as well this offseason, who was like their wide receiver three last year. Cooper Kupp is gone, and I know they have Davante Adams in there now as well, but I think Mumfield's going to see opportunities as a rookie.
I would be lying to you if I said I watched a single second of his tape, so I'm glad that you have. But outside of that, man, like I was a big fan of Josiah Stewart early in the year. And then that very much fizzled out. And then he tested horrifically compared to kind of what we thought or what I thought he was as an athlete at 250 pounds. It just didn't match up what you see on tape. Terrence Ferguson, on the opposite side of that, tested incredibly well. And that's the type of tight end that you do draft in the second or the third round. You draft the guys who you might not have seen it from at the college level. I think maybe in that offense, he could have been a little bit lost just overall. And tight ends just a lot of the time don't see big roles at the college level. Now, did you see that crazy athleticism on tape? No. Does he have a top five aesthetic immediately yeah. at the position? Absolutely. An aesthetic and athleticism at tight end matters. Jaquez Hunter, weird pick for me, right? Like, Hunter for me, I know that he did have a little bit of buzz. I didn't see it with him. But as a day three pick, as a running back, I'm not really going to cause too much of a fuss. And then Ty Hamilton in the fifth round is a fine pick, in my opinion, as well for them.
Oh, yeah.
And he's going to be a rotational guy for them, which is all he really needs to be. And I think that's probably where his best fit is as a rotational guy who I think he can play on early downs, because I do think, even at, you know, sub 300 pounds, I think that he is a decent run defender. But overall, for me, I think, like you said, I think that the Chris Paul pick is the one that I'm kind of the most excited about, outside of what can they develop Terrence Ferguson into.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, what Les Snead and them have done over the past couple of years hasn't made a ton of sense to me. In every single draft, like the way that they've drafted guys, I wasn't a huge Braden Fisk guy. I thought that he was a little bit of a bull in a china shop, going a little bit crazy, a little bit out of control. Great athlete, but he was an immediate contributor. Jermaine Johnson, immediate contributor. Like, everybody they've drafted defensively has been unbelievable. And so for me, I'm giving them the grace here that they know what they're doing with the selections of Josiah Stewart and Ty Hamilton and Chris Paul. And then on the offensive side of the ball, just my absolute belief in what Sean McVay is doing offensively all of the time and the guys that he can fit in that offense.
Yeah. What's weird for me with the Terrence Ferguson pick is you heard all last year about how infatuated with Brock Bowers they were and how they were like trying to trade up for Brock Bowers and they couldn't get him. And maybe they were trying to trade it for Tyler Warren or Colson Loveland here, but it just feels like Terrence Ferguson doesn't feel like a Bowers or a Warren or a Loveland type player. So we'll see how that pans out. I mean, they're tight end room. Otherwise, you know, Tyler Higbee has had some injuries in the past and, Colby Parkinson is not very good. So, like, clearly some tight end room upgrades were needed. So I'm
yeah, but he's
to
8 feet tall.
Pans out. What?
I said, yeah, but Colby Parkinson's 8 feet tall.
Yeah, he is 8 feet tall. He's huge. He's huge. So, I mean, he's going to get targets just because he's already walking in as tight end one in that offense. He's already walking in as tight end one. So
he's tight end. He's tight end two. Higbee's tight end one until he gets injured. He is. Yeah. He's been productive for them when he's been healthy.
Yeah, he's not overly dynamic. I guess Ferguson is.
No, but what and that's kind of the thing. It's like, what kind of dynamic dynamicism?
Dynamicism.
What's the is that how you? Anyways, do you really need that tight end to be that dynamic when your offense doesn't really focus on that? Your That's quarterback fair. Doesn't really focus on that. Like, you kind of just need a red zone weapon.
Guy who can sit some green grass every once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't ask too much of Higbee. He just kind of contributes what you would expect from that tier of tight end that's 500 to 800 yards a year.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Moving on. Arizona Cardinals.
I love this draft. I think
it's a bit of a mixed bag, but it's value-wise, I think it's fine. Obviously, neither of us were super, super high on Walter Nolan.
No, but if you switch those picks, first and second round pick, I love this draft.
Yeah, that's fair. That's really valid. Getting Will Johnson at 47.
I really wonder about
his knee,
the injury. Yeah. I really wonder about the knee.
I do too. I do too after that. But he's like walking into that roster as the best corner on that roster.
It would be very much difficult not to be the best.
Right. I mean, I like Garrett Williams, but he played a lot of nickel for them last year. Garrett Williams did. And then like Sean Murphy Bunting, a former second round pick, fine. Like he's a fine player, but like that room very much needs high end corner play. And if the knee checks out here, they might have found it here in Will Johnson. Mm-hmm. So fine with those first two picks. Jordan Birch, again, a guy that was getting top 50 hype, but 78 though. I'm fine with the big end at 78.
Yeah, and in this offense specifically, I mean they went out and they got Calais Campbell. They picked up Dalvin Tomlinson as well. They already had Darius Robinson. And so for me, it's really interesting to see where Jordan Birch kind of fits into all of this, because he obviously fits, in my opinion, as one of those bigger ends for them. And I'm interested to see when they do come out with the depth chart where he lines up, because they have their Baron Browning, Zaven Collins, Josh Sweat, BJ Ojulari, Xavier Thomas as well as kind of their outside linebackers. And so it would be Birch behind guys like Darius Robinson, who they just drafted, like Calais Campbell, Walter Nolan, LJ Collier. Like, it's just, there's a lot of those bigger four tech, five tech kind of guys on this defense already. Because they do have Tomlinson and Bilal Nichols to kind of fill that nose role. So it's a crowded room of defensive linemen, but it's never a bad thing to have a rotation of 6, 7, 8 defensive linemen and just kind of keeping those guys fresh. So yeah, I don't mind that selection. I think it's probably still a little bit early for me personally, just because I wasn't a huge fan of his. But going out and getting a little bit of depth at linebacker behind Mac Wilson and Akeem Davis Gaither.
Okay, Cody Simon, man, he's going to carve out a role. I'm telling you, too. He's a decent player.
You hope he carves out a role, because that linebacker room is not very good.
No.
My question is, with Will Johnson, with Garrett Williams there, with Sean Murphy Bunting, what does this say about Max Melton? What does this say about Murphy Bunting with the selections of Will Johnson and Denzel Burke back there?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. I struggle to read too much into like a 170.
I'm really interested to see. I'm really interested to see if Burke can turn it around, because I feel like outside of one game this year, he wasn't terrible. One game was the Oregon game, and it was truly, truly an abomination of defensive back play. But I wonder if he's got enough to carve out a role there.
Yeah. I mean, he's a pretty average athlete. And I think that kind of shows on tape in terms of like transitional burst and triggering.
But Ohio State asks a lot.
They do.
Of those corners playing off and catching and carrying at like 8, 9 yards.
Yeah.
Which is super, super tough when you're playing flat footed in cover three.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. I'm interested here. They drafted one offensive player in the 6th round in Hayden Connor. The rest is all defense. All defense.
Defensive head coach, baby.
Yeah. He's like, I'm recreating my Philadelphia, the team in Philadelphia that I've been good with for years.
Honestly, what it looks like they're trying to do. But, I mean, when you look on the offensive side of the ball, like that's an offensive line that we thought kind of outproduced what they were on paper. Mm-hmm. Really, really good. I would have loved to see a little bit more help at wide receiver.
Yeah.
But running back is set. With Benson and Connor.
And tight end room is awesome.
And you have your corner or your quarterbacks, and the tight end room is awesome. So I mean, I'm okay with what they have offensively, to be honest with you. Just run a bunch of 12 personnel And don't worry about what you have at wide receiver.
Yeah. And we'll see. We'll see. Again, this team truly depends on Kyler, whether or not Kyler can figure it out, which he is by all measures a fine quarterback. He's just always doing something. It's like, why are you doing that? At least like twice a game. And it really haunts him. So this team's going to come down to Kyler Murray and how he can do with Drew Petzing heading into the season again. So overall though, yeah, you got some fine defensive players here. And again, I think Cody Simon might become a day one starter for that team and that linebacker.
He might. So.
All right. Far and away the best draft in the NFC West, which graded out as the third overall draft of the entire draft class of the entire NFL. The Seattle Seahawks, third overall.
I have nothing to say, but it's amazing.
This draft rules.
This draft does rule. They needed interior help, and they went out and they got interior help with Gray Zabel. And I'm really interested to see where he ends up on that offensive line, because I think he would be an upgrade at all three spots. So does he stay at left guard where they have him listed at currently? Will he go to the pivot? Because like, I think he would be an awesome, awesome pivot, man. Mm-hmm. I really, truly do.
And what if they stick with Olu Olu there, though, at center?
And Olu Olu was okay for them last year.
Mm-hmm.
Anthony Bradford, guard in that situation. Maybe Josh Jones playing left guard, and Gray Zabel goes in at center. I mean, I really think that they have an opportunity to put their best five out there. And
they
then,
got Christian Haynes, too, who I thought was an ass kicker coming out of UConn last year.
Yeah. Yeah, he's at right guard. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying. Like he was good for them as a rookie. So, and then you have the flexibility of Gray moving out and playing right tackle when Abraham Lucas inevitably gets hurt. Which I hate to say that, but like he hasn't stayed very healthy, and right. So there's not much to really hang your hat on there. Nor is there much to hang your hat on at wide receiver there anyways, which is why I really enjoy the selections of both Torrey Horton, who I think just got lost in this class because he got injured early. Mm-hmm. He's a little bit of an older prospect. And then Ricky White, who I think is going to immediately be one of the best special teamers in the NFL. So I think two really good picks there at wide receiver. And then
and Elijah Arroyo, who's essentially a wide receiver. Yeah.
Yes. Developmental quarterback who won't need to play right away, who gets to sit behind two established NFL players, and they're not good necessarily. Like Sam Darnold had a fine year last year. Drew Locke's not very good, but Drew Locke has experience, and you can keep Jalen Milroe off of the field while also putting him on the field in certain packages, specifically around the red zone, to use him as for lack of a better term, a wildcat quarterback. Early on, because he can throw the ball still, but you will use him because of the unbelievable threat that he is with his legs. And then the best pick of the draft, by far, it's not even close, Nicky Minwori.
Your guy.
Making it to the second round, ridiculous. Landing with Mike Macdonald, all pro. He will be an all-pro player by year three with Mike Macdonald.
Traded up to 35 to get him.
Yep.
He traded up to get him. Yeah. Well, I've been mocking the Minwori to Seattle since, except in the first round, like with like pick 15 or wherever they'd been picking at for the majority of the season, the right there in the middle of the pack. And he lands there anyway in the second round.
I didn't even realize this until right now. They drafted Riley Mills in round 5-2, and I think Riley Mills is a darn good football player.
Mm-hmm.
Undersized, but he is a punch you in the mouth type of dude. And I have a bias for Notre Dame defenders. I can't get over it. I love how well coached they are.
Yeah. Nice little 3-5 versatility there as well. And boy, if that Milroe pick hits, man, which again, work ethic to do it. There's a lot to work with. There's also a lot to work through. So,
yeah.
But again, he didn't go pick 33 like a lot of people thought he didn't go. He was going to go. He didn't go pick 64, which some people, you know, if you would have told me Jalen Milroe is going to be hanging around at pick 92 and somebody's going to land him at 92, then yeah, all day, all day. I also love some of their late round picks. I know you mentioned Ricky White. I love Bryce Cabledew, who I think is an NFL caliber starting guard. Like watch his tape at left tackle at Kansas. Watch him play left tackle, even though he's very obviously a guard. Look at his testing metrics. The guy didn't even get a freaking combine invite, but freaking Logan Brown did, who didn't get drafted, playing right tackle at Kansas. And Cabledew is better than Logan Brown, and the NFL thinks so too here. Logan Brown's the one with the Senior Bowl invite, the one with the combine invite, former five-star. Cabledew is the one who gets drafted. Cabledew is a rock solid player, and I'm not sleeping on this guy starting some games at guard for the Seahawks either. Like, I'm just not sleeping on it. And then Damian Martinez. I know you weren't a huge Damian Martinez guy, but and there's the face, yeah. But as far as inside zone, wide zone, Kubiak, you know, he's a Kubiak back, and so I like that fit, especially getting him there in the seventh round. It's not like he went top 75, top 125. He went 223. So getting a Kubiak back at 223 there, he very much fits. Like, I think Kenneth Walker is probably gonna get traded at some point too. But like Charbonnet, big dude, inside outside zone back. Kenneth Walker, not a big dude, but inside outside zone back. Like, and then Damian Martinez, another thick boy to throw in that room too. So he fits the identity of Seattle running backs very well there too. But yeah, Seattle deserves every ounce of love they got for this draft. Elijah Arroyo, that's an F right there. That's a heck of a pick. Yeah, not a lot to hate on this draft at all. Not a ton.
No, that draft gets an A for me.
Oh, yeah, A. 100%. 100%. All right, what about the Arizona Cardinals? Where are we grading out the Cardinals?
I think that the Cardinals, for me, I think that they get an A, B+. B+, because I do wish that they would have attacked wide receiver at all. But, yeah.
I'm going to give it a flat B, like a flat 85.
I just think pairing Walter Nolan and Will Johnson in rounds one and two is a phenomenal pick for duo of picks up top for them.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good. Yeah. I'm going to give the Rams a C.
Me too.
Yeah. Like you probably got, like, again, I think you can get day one contributions out of like a guy like Poupon in the fifth round, and that's pretty crazy. That's pretty good to do. And I think Mumford could play a role in round seven. So like, you can't grade this too low, but there's not a lot of meat on the bones at the top, and that's kind of an issue for me.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, they only had they didn't have a first round pick.
Yeah, trade out.
Less need, but yeah, it is what it is.
All right, and then the 49ers. I'm gonna give this one a B as well. I'm gonna go with the B here.
Yeah, I'm gonna give this one a B minus. Okay. I like this draft more than I like the Rams draft, but they also had more picks to work with. I mean, they made 11 selections. So like, that's part of the reason why they're grading higher, just because they had more darts to throw. But like we talked about, I like five of the first seven picks. So, and I actually enjoy Curtis Rourke as their backup in round seven. So I'm going to go with a B here. Actually, I'm going to raise the grade. I'm going to give them a B here.
Okay. Yeah. That's exactly where I came in.
I love Alfred Collins, dude.
Yeah. I mean, just attacking your run defense, getting stout, like you can't be upset about getting stout up front. No pun intended, also drafting Upton Stout.
Yeah.
Like you just can't be mad about a team raising their floor. Yeah. That's it, man.
That's all the divisions, man.
That's all the divisions. Again, Daft on Draft, I cut up every freaking Arch Manning drop back, and I broke down all 100 drop backs on Arch Manning's from my Substack video content there. So make sure you're checking that out. I've been streaming more consistently too, playing some NCAA 25 or college football 25 and talking NFL draft in the comment section. So that's been a blast. Like the last streaming session I did was an absolute blast. They kept the conversation lively. I'm rolling with Vanderbilt year two. I left Texas State for Vanderbilt, and I'm on the recruiting trail. I'm on a heater on the recruiting trail. So I am streaming again on, it's Monday night while we're recording this. I am streaming again tonight. So check that out. You know, even if it's the VOD that's up tomorrow, whatever, up today, I guess. But there's some cool stuff happening. So thanks for tuning in again. We're a part of the Believe Podcast Network now. So we're cooking with gas. Do you have anything else for the people?
I don't. I love you guys. I'm doing individual cut-ups over on my Patreon. And so go tap in there. I have a ton of 2024 tape as well. So tap into that. Join the Discord. Watch Corey go live. Join Corey's Substack. I love you guys. Goodbye for me.